the history of birthdays or birthday traditions. We're going to look at where birthdays come from in history, as well as looking at birthday cakes and perhaps even the famous song called Happy Birthday. Now, from a historical standpoint, it's customary today for people to celebrate a living person's birthday. However, if Western tradition had actually prevailed, we'd be observing the annual post-mortem celebration, or the death day. Many of our birthday customs have switched 180 degrees from what they were in the past. Children's birthdays, for example, were never observed, nor were those of women. And the decorated birthday cake, briefly a Greek tradition, went unbaked for centuries, though it reappeared, topped with candles, and then greeted with a rousing chorus of Happy Birthday to you. So, how does this come about? In Egypt, and later in Babylonia, dates of birth were recorded and celebrated for male children of royalty. Birthday parties were unheard of for the lowest classes and for women of almost any rank other than the queen. Only a king, a queen, high-ranking nobleman even recognized the day that he or she was born, let alone commemorate it every year. The first birthday celebrations in recorded history, which is around 3000 BC, were those of the early pharaohs of kings of Egypt. Practice began when Narmer united upper and lower kingdoms. Celebrations were elaborate household feasts in which servants, slaves, and freedmen took part. Often prisoners were released from royal jails. Two female birthdays are documented. From Plutarch, the first century Greek biographer and essayist, we know that Cleopatra IV, the last member of the Ptolemaic dynasty in Egypt, threw an immense birthday celebration for her lover, Mark Antony, at which the invited guests were themselves lavished with royal gifts. An earlier queen, Cleopatra II, who incestuously married her brother Ptolemy and had a son by him, received from her husband one of the most macabre birthday presents in history, the slaughtered and dismembered body of his own son. The Greeks adopted the Egyptian idea of birthday celebrations, and from the Persians, renowned among ancient confectioners, they added the custom of a sweet birthday cake as a hallmark of the occasion. The writer Philochorus tells us that the worshippers of Artemis, goddess of the moon and the hunt, celebrated her birthday on the sixth day of every month by baking a large cake of flour and honey. There's evidence suggesting that Artemis's cake might actually have been topped with lighted candles, since at that time lighted candles signified moonlight, the goddess's earthward radiance. Birthdays of Greek deities were celebrated monthly, each god hailed with 12 parties a year. At the other extreme, birthdays of mortal women and children were considered too unimportant to observe. But when the birthday of a man of the house arrived, no banquet was deemed too lavish. The Greek called these festivities for living males gethlia, and the annual celebrations continued for years even after the man's death, genesia. The Romans added a new twist to the birthday celebration. Before the dawn of the Christian era, the Roman Senate inaugurated the custom, still practiced today, of making the birthdays of important statesmen national holidays. In 44 BC, the Senate passed a resolution making the assassinated Caesar's birthday an annual observance, highlighted by a public parade, a circus performance, gladiatorial combats, an evening banquet, and a theatrical presentation of a dramatic play. With the rise of Christianity, the tradition of celebrating birthdays ceased altogether. To the early followers of Jesus, who were oppressed, persecuted, and martyred by the Jews and the pagans, and who believed their infants enter the world with the original sin of Adam condemning their soul, the world was a harsh and cruel place. There was no reason to celebrate one's birth, but since death was the true deliverance, the passage to eternal paradise, every person's death day merited prayerful observance. Contrary to popular belief, it was the death days and not the birthdays of saints that were celebrated and became their feast days. Church historians interpret many early Christian references to birthdays as passages or birth into the afterlife. The birthday of a saint, clarified the early church apologist Peter Christologus, is not that in which they are born in the flesh, but that they are born from earth and the heaven, from labor to rest. There was a further reason why early church fathers preached against celebrating birthdays. They considered festivities borrowed from the Egyptians and the Greeks as relics of pagan practice. In 245 AD, when a group of early Christian historians attempted to pinpoint the exact date of Christ's birth, the Catholic Church ruled the undertaking sacrilegious. proclaiming it would be sinful to observe the birthday of Christ as though he were a king or pharaoh. In the 4th century, the church began to alter its attitude towards birthday celebrations and also commenced serious discussions to settle the date of Christ's birth. The result, of course, marked the beginning of the tradition of celebrating Christmas. It was with the celebration of Christ's nativity that the Western world returned to the celebration of birthdays. By the 12th century, parish churches throughout Europe were recording the birth dates of women and children, and families were observing the dates with annual celebrations. Around this time, the birthday cake arrives, now topped with candles. So, the custom of a birthday cake was observed for a brief time in ancient Greece. It reemerged among German peasants in the Middle Ages, and through a new kind of celebration, the Kinderfest, held specifically for a young child. In a sense, this marked the beginning of children's birthday parties, and in many ways, a 13th century German child received more attention and honor than his or her modern-day counterpart. A Kinderfest began at dawn. The birthday child was awakened by the arrival of a cake topped with lighted candles. The candles were changed and kept lit throughout the day until after the family meal, when the cake was finally eaten. The number of candles totaled one more than the child's age, the addition one representing the light of life, believing that the candle's life is found throughout history. Macbeth speaks of life as a, quote, brief candle, and Proverbs cautions against burning the candle at both ends. The birthday child also received gifts and selected the menu for the family meal, requesting his or her or favorite dish. Our custom of making a wish and blowing out the candles also stems from the Kinderfest. Birthday candles were to be extinguished in a single breath, and the wish, if it came true, had to remain a secret. German birthday lore has one custom we do not observe today. The birthday man, a bearded elf who brought well-behaved birthday children additional gifts. Although the birthday man never achieved the stature of Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, his image could still be purchased in the form of a German doll well into the early parts of the 20th century. So, we get a cake, we've got the birthday, what about the singing? Well, we all know a little of this. The melody, regarded as the most frequently sung music in the world, was first published in 1893 in a book called Song Stories of the Kindergarten, under the title Good Morning to All, written by two sisters from Louisville, Kentucky. The tune was never intended to be sung at a birthday celebration, but was a morning classroom welcome to the youngsters. Through theft, it became a birthday tradition. Mildred Hill, who composed the song's melody, was a church organist, concert pianist, and authority on Negro spirituals. Born in Louisville in 1859, she died in Chicago at the age of 57, a few years before her tune received its happy birthday wording. Mildred's sister, Patti Smith Hill, born in 1868, wrote the song's lyrics while principal of the Louisville Experimental Kindergarten School, where her sister taught, one of the country's first kindergartens to apply modern methods of education to young children. The school and the Hill sisters were honored in an educational exhibition at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. With a lifelong interest in teaching children, Dr. Patti Smith Hill came to Columbia University's Teacher College in 1906. 3 years later, she became head of the Department of Kindergarten Education. Though Dr. Hill was a professor emeritus at Columbia and won a host of honors before her death in New York City in 1946, she will probably always be best remembered for her contribution to Happy Birthday to You. The Hill sisters copyrighted their Good Morning to All song on October the 16th, 1893, but it appeared without authorization in a songbook edited by Robert H. Coleman and published by him in Dallas on March the 4th, 1924, where the song bore its original title and the first stanza's lyrics. Coleman altered the second stanza's opening to read, Happy Birthday to You. And though Coleman, the sisters' line, Good Morning, Dear Children, became Happy Birthday, Dear, then the name. Over the next decade, the song was published several times, often with minor alterations to its lyrics. By 1933, its widely accepted title was Happy Birthday to You. A year later, the birthday tune was belted out nightly in a Broadway musical as thousands cheer. A third Hill sister, Jessica, tired of the blatant theft and total absence of royalties, took the case to court and won. The Hill family owned the melody. They were entitled to royalties every time the song was performed commercially. Most people worldwide were shocked to learn that the familiar tune was copyrighted. Western Union, which had sent some 500,000 singing birthday greetings via telephone and singing messengers, ceased offering the selection. It was dropped from As Thousands Cheer, and when Broadway backers of a new show, Angels in the Wings, which had opened with a score containing the same tune, found that they would have to pay the Hill family royalties for every performance, the show's composer penned another melody. And in a later hit play, Happy Birthday, its star, Helen Hayes, spoke the lyrics so the producers could avoid paying royalties. Patti Smith Hill died at 78 after a long illness, aware that she and her sister had started a modern and worldwide birthday tradition. Now, my source for this is another one of my weird books. It's called Penatus, Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.